Good morning. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we seek the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings we have received thus far, and we know you will continue to bless us. May the power of your word transform us this morning, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew a man many years ago who was a leader in the church, had been working in different areas, preaching, teaching, Sabbath school. He was visiting all kinds of things. And this man, people thought he had the gift of preaching. And so, you know, when election times came, nominating committee time, you know, he was always, you know, you should be the head elder of this church because you have these gifts. And he had these gifts and had earned the respect of an admiration of many of the members of the church. But all the while, nobody in the church could imagine that this man was entangled in such a thick web of sin. He was so deep in the quicksand of sin, if you will, that it seemed impossible for him to be set free. And again, all the while this was going on, he was preaching, and teaching, and doing all the things that a good leader would do. And maybe that surprises you, but unfortunately that happens more than you think. And perhaps you say, well, this man was a hypocrite. He should have fessed up to what he was going on and what was going on in his life, and he should have resigned. Maybe you're right. Maybe he should have done that, but he didn't. It kept on going. But perhaps you can relate to this man. Have you ever been entangled in a web of sin? Have you ever felt oppressed? Have you ever felt that there's no way out for you, that you're so deep that there's just no hope for you? Have you ever thought that you're so tied up and oppressed in this web of sin in your life that you have no right to approach God? Have you ever been wanting to be set free but didn't know how that was going to happen? How can you be set free? Today is Independence Day, of course. A little bit of history here. The mid-17th century, many people from different parts of Europe came to this country, and with the passage of time, there was much abuse from a part of the English colonies, which prompted the desire of the colonists to separate from England, which only took place after a war that claimed thousands of lives. But through the sacrifice of many, today we live under a democracy with a president instead of a monarchy with a king, although these days we don't know how much of the difference that is. But the sacrifice of many people, today we enjoy freedom in our country. Freedom. Great word. And if you look it up, it's a concept that refers to many aspects of life. It's commonly defined as a natural faculty that man has to act on his own accord. It is possible to understand freedom as a state in which man is not enslaved or imprisoned by another. It's a concept that refers to those aspects that are related to independence, with a license to perform what is deemed appropriate or desirable. Let's open our Bibles. Book of John, chapter 8. Aunt Kim shared these already. Chapter 8, Book of John, verses 31 through 36. John 8, verses 31 through 36. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. This is Jesus. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, the events of chapter 8 of the book of John take place in the temple. It was here that the scribes and the Pharisees, you remember, brought this woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery. And of course, they wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to see what he would do. You know, the law says that this woman should be stoned, but what do you say? And you know the story. Jesus starts writing on the ground. And of course, scholars believe, inspiration believes that it's just the sins of these scribes and Pharisees that Jesus was writing down. And one by one, they left. It's interesting that these men have brought this woman who clearly was also entangled in a web of sin herself. They brought her to be judged, and yet they were themselves entangled in sin. And Jesus knew it. He starts writing on the ground those issues that they were struggling with. And one by one, they leave. Of course, Jesus did not condemn the woman. But then Jesus goes on to explain that he is the light of the world. And there's a conversation going back and forth between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. Because remember, the scribes and the Pharisees left the woman with Jesus, but it doesn't say they left the temple area. So it's possible that they stuck around and started to hear what Jesus was trying to say. There's a conversation going on there, and Jesus is trying to explain who he was and what he came to accomplish for them. We're told that the words of Jesus touched many, and there were some who believed in him. Some who believed in him. And so who is Jesus speaking to here? Notice verse 31. Jesus said to those who? The Jews who believed him. The Jews, of course, are God's own people, and these are Jews that believe him. So Jesus is talking, dare I say, to the members of his church. He has something to tell the members of his church. What does he have to tell them? He goes on, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? The truth shall set you, shall make you free. Jesus is telling them, listen, if you abide. Now this word abide, the Greek meno, which simply means to stay connected. If you abide in me, if you stay connected to me, if you don't let go, you will be my disciples. Now, Ralph, you talked a little bit about discipleship earlier. The fact that being a disciple and being a member is a totally different thing. That's another topic in itself. But if you stay connected, if you stay connected to me, if you don't let go, you will be my disciples. And by being my disciples, you will know the truth. And that truth shall set you free. You see, a lot of times we get ourselves into trouble because we let go. He's saying, if you stay connected, if you stay connected, there is a process. You become my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But the problem is that we don't stay connected. And how don't we stay connected? Well, we get so busy sometimes, we stop praying, and we stop reading our Bibles, we stop witnessing, we stop going to church, and before you know it, you're not abiding anymore. And you find yourself in a place that you thought you'd never be in. But Jesus says, listen, if you stay connected, if you abide in me, you will know the truth. What truth is Jesus talking about? We want to know how if he's saying the truth shall set you free, we want to know how to obtain the freedom. What is Jesus talking about? What truth is Jesus talking about? There's a number of truths, I would say three truths that Jesus is presenting in these verses that'll help us in our goal to find freedom in our lives. Start reading from verses 23 to 28, the first thing that Jesus is trying to tell them. Notice, And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." They said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been trying to say to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." But they did not understand that he spoke to them about the Father. And Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father's taught me, I speak these things." Jesus is trying to explain to them something very important. The first aspect of that truth is that who he is and what he came to accomplish. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the one, he says in Luke 19:10, "I have came to seek and save that which was lost." And so part of that truth that's going to set us free is, who is Jesus, and who is Jesus for you? What does Jesus mean for your life? He is your Savior. He is the Messiah. But notice we're told here that these Jews were a bit hard-headed. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Those Jews are like that, right? Because we get it. Yeah, we're good. We don't have need of anything here, right? The Jews. But notice what he says in verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" So notice the process here. Listen, if you abide in me, you'll be my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if Jesus is telling them that the truth will set them free, he is implying something. He's implying that they're not free. And that part they got. "Well, we're not Abraham's descendants. What are you talking about? We're not slaves." See, it was the common belief, the Jewish belief, that if you were a descendant of Abraham, you were virtually guaranteed salvation. No matter what you did. It's much like this one save, always save concept. You know, once you accept Jesus, you could do whatever and you'll be okay. Well, for a Jew, if you were born a Jew, if you were a descendant of Abraham, you could burn down a nursing home. What's that called? Or a children, a kid's home, orphanage. An orphanage, that's what I'm trying to. You could burn down an orphanage on Christmas Eve. You were saved because you were a descendant of Abraham. It didn't matter what you did. "Well, we don't have need of anything here. What are you talking about? We're good." Does that remind you of anything? We Adventists are very aware of these Laodicean message, Revelation 3:17, "Because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." See, the second part of that truth, my friends, is that you need to acknowledge who you are. You need to acknowledge where you are. So you need to know who Jesus is, what he came to do, and you need to know and acknowledge who you are. What your status is. Jews thought they had it all figured out. They didn't know their true condition. Friends, and sometimes we don't either. If we want to truly be set free, if we want to experience true freedom, the first thing, or in this case, the second thing, is that we must acknowledge that we're a slave. You need to acknowledge that you're a slave. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Now, a little personal question here, or a request, if you will. How many of you, by raising your hands, are sinners? Let's see here. Don't raise your hand if you're not a sinner. If you're not a sinner, don't raise your hand. But if you're a sinner, raise your hand. All right, almost everybody. Almost everybody. Well, I got news for you. You are a slave. I raised my hand too. I'm a slave. You're a slave. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? If he said, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. The word slave, it dwells a person that has a property of another, subject to that person, a servant. And Paul said it clearly in Romans 6:16. He said, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether it is to sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. And so the question is, whose slave are you? Because either way, you're a slave. The question is, which slave are you? Are you a slave to sin? You know, sin is an addiction. Have you ever been addicted? Contrary to the rumor that's flying out there, Pastor Nelson is not addicted to chocolate. I know the rumors are going out. I don't know where they started from. But Pastor Nelson's not addicted to chocolate. Because, you know, when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I think about is not chocolate. When I am going around my day and doing my thing, I am not thinking about Dove and Milky Ways. I am not thinking about Dove and Milky Ways. Hint, hint. I'm not thinking about it. When I go to bed at night, the last thing that I think about is not chocolate. So I like chocolate. I appreciate the chocolate donations to the Nelson Mercado Fund. But I'm not addicted to chocolate. But I have been addicted. I have been addicted. And if you've been addicted, you know where I'm coming from. You know what I'm talking about. Because a person that is addicted, the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning is the addiction. As you go about your day, working, school, whatever it is you're doing, you're constantly thinking in your mind that very thing that you're addicted to. And your desire and you want to satisfy that. And you're looking forward to it. And the last thing you think about when you go to bed is the addiction. That's being addicted. Have you been there? And you know, these experts say that once a person is addicted to something, you'll be addicted for the rest of your life. Yeah. It's like alcoholics. You've heard alcoholics that say, well, you know, I've received treatment. I've gone to Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been sober for X number of years. But when they describe themselves, they still call themselves alcoholics. Because it's as if, I had this addiction before, so if I am exposed to this ever again, I may fall. And so that's why they told us, don't go to a bar and that kind of thing. Don't expose yourself to that one thing that you were addicted to, because you can fall again. So in essence, experts are saying that if you are a slave, that you are addicted to something, you are going to be a slave forever. That doesn't give us much hope, does it? That's not true? You think it's not true? Let's see what Jesus has to say. Jesus, look at what Jesus says. Again, notice the process here. He says, if you abide in me, you're my disciples, the truth, you know the truth will set you free. And of course, the hard-headed Jews and the hard-headed Adventists today said, no, I don't have any problems with that. But if you are a sinner, if you're committing sin, you're a slave to sin. So you are slaves. But then he gives the words of hope. Verse 35. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Now, the Old Testament law stipulated that a slave, after a certain amount of years, was going to be set free. For Jesus is talking to the Jews. They're familiar with the Old Testament law, and they knew what he was trying to say here. A slave would be freed after certain amount of years. Even a Gentile law stipulated that a slave could be freed or at least sold to another household. A son, however, was always part of the household. So notice, a slave, if I had a slave in my household, he was a slave. He didn't have the same rights and privileges that my son did, but he was part of my household, but it wasn't forever. He was a slave there, but after a certain amount of years, he would be set free. A son is always part of the household. So there's a contrast between being a slave and being a son. The son had certain rights and privileges and that the slave didn't have. And so there's a vast chasm here between being a slave and being truly free. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life. When I first got baptized, I was 18 years old. And, you know, even before I got baptized, I started going to church. I was learning, and I realized that there's got to be a change in my life. And so I wasn't doing the same. You know, I did some shady things when I was growing up. You know what I mean? Use your imagination. But the point is, there was a lifestyle change. And my family, my brother particularly, he noticed that there was things I wasn't doing anymore. And my brother, you know, he would make fun of me and laugh at me because in his mind I was under bondage. Look at you! You had this freedom before. You did this, that, and the other, but now you don't do any of that. Look at me, he said. I'm free. I can do everything I want to do. And in fact, he even bet me, and I'm going to see you in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven too. See, my brother, then and even now, is not a believer. Thank God he's matured a little bit from then. But he thought that I was here enslaved, but what he didn't realize is that I was being set free from those things and that he was continuing in that slavery. And many today feel the same way. They think that the Christian life is the same way like my brother thought. But there's a vast difference between being a descendant of Abraham, like the Jews thought, that it didn't matter what they did, that they had salvation, and there's a difference between that and being a son. The son has all the rights that the owner has. The owner alone could set a slave free, but the son has all the rights that the owner has. So verse 36, therefore if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The freedom obtained through the son was real freedom because he had all the rights that the owner had. But notice it says if, it's a conditional statement, and what he's saying here is that the freedom can only come through the one who himself is free. Because you see, a slave could not set another slave free because he himself was a slave. Only a person that was free could set a slave free. Only the son, in this case, could set you free. The Son is free and therefore can make you free. That's what Jesus is telling him. And of course, the implication is he's pointing back to himself. He had already been explaining who he was. He is the Son of God. He is the Son. He is free and he alone can set us free. The Apostle Paul, you're familiar with the verses in chapter 7. Describes his dilemma, this struggle in his life. Romans 7, 21 through 24. I find then a law, that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man, look how oppressed I am. Who will set me free? See, Paul realized that the freedom that he needed so much, the freedom that he earned, that the freedom that you and I are looking for cannot come by our efforts alone. He needed help. Much like the history of our country. The 13 British colonies, of course, they in order to win their freedom against England, they realized they couldn't do it alone. And so history tells us they recruited who? Let's see if you're history buffs. The French and who else? The Spanish, the French, France and Spain. And so they realize we can't do it alone. And friends, our freedom, the freedom that we so yearn, we can't do it alone. We can't gain our independence alone. So who will win our freedom? Paul says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. Jesus can set us free. See, that's the third part of this truth. The third part of the truth is that you can't set yourself free. You can't do it by yourself. You need help. And the help you need is from the one who set himself is free, the only one who can set you free, and that's Jesus. That's the gospel message, my friends. Contrary to popular opinion, my friends, this is a message that everybody needs to hear around here. We don't need to wait for something special to happen in our church for something like that to happen. People are dying around us, and we need to tell them this message. Read in Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my help and my deliverer. See, one of the things you talked about in our Sabbath school lesson is that mission, that rescue mission. Jesus came to this world with a rescue mission. Much like some of the movies I used to watch. I was an 80s guy. I know I'm dating myself here. But the 80s were great for movies. Who can forget John Matrix? I'm not going to tell you a movie. Maybe you'll tell me later. Who can forget John Rambo? Or the ever infamous Colonel James Braddock? You remember. Some of you remember that. And you know how it is, all these movies came in, these guys, you know, guns blazing, and they always set the prisoners of war free. They went in, they went to war, they went to the prison, and they set them free. They were the heroes. But my friends, Jesus is our hero. And John Rambo has nothing on Jesus. He has set us truly free. Truly free, real freedom. Now, we're very lucky to live in the United States of America. We are. It's the greatest country in the world. You know, many people, I know immigration is a hot button, but people risk their lives. You know, their countries clearly are different, so they'll do whatever it takes to come to our country to obtain the freedom that we have. But now, I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. And I believe that we are only as free as our government allows us to think that we are. And recent events has sort of corroborated that. And it's just going to get worse. So while we live in the best country in the world, I would submit to you that our freedom is a mirage. One day it won't be there. But when Jesus sets us free from the bondage of sin, but that you find yourself in, from the bondage of impure thoughts and desires, from that web of sin, from that quicksand of sin, when he sets you free, you will truly be free. If you allow him to. If you realize that who he is, what he came to do, you realize that you're a slave and you can't set yourself free, that you need him to set you free. Then that you will experience that true freedom. He came, he purchased you to set you free. Story of Abraham Lincoln, who went one time to buy a slave girl in the auction, and the slave girl sees this white man trying to buy her, and he's thinking, well, you know, this he just wants to have his way with me. Well, Abraham Lincoln won the auction, walks away with his property, and as they're walking along, he says to the slave girl, young lady, you're free. What? I said, you're free. You mean to tell me that I can say anything I want to say? Well, yes. You can say anything you want to say. You mean to tell me that I can do anything I want to do? Yes. You can do anything you want to do. You mean to tell me that I can go anywhere I want to go? Yes. You can go anywhere you want to go. I purchase you to set you free. And then she said, well, I want to go. Then I want to go with you. As tears were coming down her face, Jesus came in that rescue mission. That was what he came to do. When he began his ministry, the Bible tells us he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath and stood up to read. He reads from the scroll of the book of Isaiah, and this is recorded in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives. Notice, to proclaim the liberty to the captives. Are you captive this morning? And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what Jesus came to do. Does Satan have you oppressed? Do you feel that you are captive? Do you feel that there's nothing you can do to be set free? Are you carrying with a burden this morning that is tearing you apart? And it doesn't have to be a web of sin, by the way. It could be a web of anything. It could be something that has you oppressed. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it is chocolate. But something has you oppressed. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, that Jesus, if you allow him, he can break those chains and set you free. You say, how do I know? Well, story of this man that I told you about that I knew many years ago. God did not abandon him. God did not abandon him. See, Satan wanted to destroy this man, wanted to destroy his family, and he almost did. But God wanted to save him. And today, this man, you know, he doesn't fully comprehend God's love for him. But he is certainly grateful that God is loving and merciful and gracious. You see, today, this elder of the story is standing before you as your pastor. As I look back, I realize how miserable I was. And this happened for several years. And time again, I fell flat on my face. And the reason I fell flat on my face is because I was trying to set myself free. Now, notice what Jesus said. If you abide, you'll become my disciples, and the truth shall set you free. But that truth is who he is, what he came to do. He is our Savior. The truth that you are a slave, and that as a slave, you can't set yourself free. But I was trying to set myself free. So think about this. If I'm trying to set myself free, that means that I believe I'm not a slave. Because remember, a slave cannot set a slave free. Only one who's truly free can set a slave free. If I believe that I can set myself free, then I don't think I'm a slave. And if I don't think I'm a slave, I don't need Jesus. This is why I was falling on my face. So the truth of Jesus, the truth that he's trying to tell us today, my friends, is that you need to acknowledge who you are. You're a slave, but you need to know that you have a Savior who can set you free if you allow him to. You know, when I was going through this, God used a number of people. Isn't that something that God knows what you're going through and he fixes things and circumstances in your life to help you because he knows you're struggling. And I know how miserable I was because I was fighting and fighting and fighting and never gaining an inch. But it wasn't until I realized that I couldn't do it that I finally found the victory. And God used pastors and members of the church. In particular, I remember one Sabbath morning as God was speaking to me, as if I was the only person in that congregation that morning. And he was speaking to me because he knew I was there. And friends, I know because of my experience that it's possible to come to church Sabbath after Sabbath and even participate, even teach, even preach, and still be in that way. And nobody else knows but you and God. It's possible. But God extended me a hand. He gave me chance after chance. And he's always with his hand toward me. And he's doing the same thing toward you this morning. Now, it's possible that you're here today and you're still carrying with that burden. It's possible that you're here today and you are tied up, that you feel like you have handcuffs on, that you have a burden it's tearing you apart. And you don't know what to do. Well, I want to invite you this morning to bring that burden to Jesus. He has the key to your handcuffs. And all you have to do is bring it to him. And so I want to make an appeal to you today. And I know this is kind of personal, but I want to make an appeal to you today as you're listening to our closing song today. If there is something that you want to bring to Christ today, bring to Christ your chains. Bring to Christ your handcuffs. Bring him that web because he has scissors to cut it off. Whatever it is you're struggling, bring it to him. And today, you can leave this place knowing that he has truly set you free. And sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge that we have chains wrapped around us. Maybe those chains are just so heavy that you can't bear, you can't stand up. But you can count on the fact that wherever you are, that whatever it is you're struggling with, God has the power to set you free, to break those chains, so that you can say, like it said in the song, I am not like I used to be, because God set me free. Would you want him to set you free this morning? Let's stand as we have our closing prayer. Father, today we are we've been reminded of the importance of freedom. We live in the best country in the world. Many have fought and given their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today. And we're thankful for that, Lord. And you have created us with free will, with that freedom, to make our choices. Sometimes we've made the wrong ones. Sometimes we have let go of you, and we've gotten ourselves into trouble. And while we are living in a land of the free, in our own lives, we feel like we are oppressed, like we're slaves, and that we have no way out. Lord, many years ago, you spoke to me as I was struggling with that, because you knew what I was going through. You knew the pain. You knew the anxiety. You knew the burden. And all along you had the key. All along you had those scissors to cut through that web. If I would only give you the chance to do it. Father, you know who among us is struggling with, like I was. You spoke to my heart and told me what I needed to do. I needed to acknowledge that I couldn't do it myself. I needed to acknowledge that you came for that, to save and seek, to save the lost, to set free those who are oppressed, because I couldn't do it myself. So I pray to this morning or this afternoon already that as you know the hearts of your children, as you know their lives, those secret things that nobody knows, that you will come in, Lord, and convict them to let you set them free. Because when you do, we will be truly free. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Thank you for setting us free. And it is in the mighty name of Jesus that we thank you and pray. Amen.